Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in tonight to Blog Talk Radio. The name of this show is Answers for the Paranormal. And my name is Bill Posey. I'm your host for the show this evening. And on the line With me tonight and over in his office there in Horsham, Pennsylvania, is my co-host, Joe Marodi. How's it going tonight, Joe?
Hey, Bill. It's going very well tonight. The weather is fantastic here in the southeastern portion of Pennsylvania. The humidity is low. The temperature is, I could say, in the 70s right now. We're in a stretch of weather that is more reminiscent of September than it is of August. So whenever I hear the forecast for this type of weather, oh boy, I'm looking out of my bedroom window here and I'm looking at the sun. What a glorious picture of creation! But anyway, I'm thinking about all of the bells and whistles and the warnings that you get from the world about climate change and global warming, and you know, I keep thinking of myself. I've used my air conditioning less this summer than maybe any other summer. So you know, just stick your head out the window and see what the temperature is, and don't worry about global warming. But we're good tonight, brother.
Yeah,
we've got a lot of stuff to get through tonight, Bill.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot on our plate this evening, Joe. So, but I hear what you're saying. It really is a great time of the year. Usually, you know, we're dealing with the dog days of August right now, where temps are, you know, approaching 100. The humidity is approaching 100, and
right.
But to experience what we're having right now, it really is a blessing. So I'm enjoying it too. I like it when my bill comes in from Pico, and it says under $200. I'm like ready to high five, you know.
So, there you go.
Yeah. Well, as we open up this broadcast tonight, again, this is Answers for the Paranormal. We are an internet ministry where normally we will address subjects in the paranormal realm. We've done a number of shows regarding topics such as ghosts, as aliens, as vampires, and we've analyzed all those topics a biblical lens and looking at what the scriptures have to say. And, you know, quite frankly, the enemy of our souls, he masquerades as an angel of light, and he also masquerades in these different other areas, such as a ghost or as a visitor from another planet or any number of other crypto creatures or have you. These are all ruses that are put together to draw people away from the truth of the gospel. And that's what our ministry is all about. We come at this from a totally a biblical perspective, and we want to lead people to the truth and a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So tonight we're beginning part two of an area that Joe and I have felt led by the Lord that we needed to address. We've titled the broadcast tonight, "The Spiritual Battle for Truth Continues." And we did begin this a couple weeks ago, and we wanted to look into this this whole area of homosexuality being accepted in churches today, and the effect that it is having in those churches. So we began looking at four questions in our first broadcast, and those topics of discussion were these: what effect does our culture have on this spiritual battle? And Joe and I addressed that in our first broadcast. And then The second topic of discussion, what does the Bible have to say regarding homosexuality, which we addressed and got most of the way through in our last broadcast, and we're going to continue there tonight. And then the third topic, which we'll address tonight, is what inroads is this practice of homosexuality making in churches today? And then finally, who is behind the orchestration of this spiritual battle? Who is behind all this? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And if you would like to be part of our broadcast tonight, you could do that by dialing into our toll-free number, 877-455-6692. That'll get you in touch with us, and we'll bring you onto the air, and you can ask us a question or state your comment, and Joe and I will be more than pleased to answer whatever is on your mind tonight. And you can access our website at www.answersfortheparanormal.org. And also there you'll find a contact page where you'll be able to get in touch with either Joe or myself. Our email addresses are there on that page. The email address is joe@answersfortheparanormal.org. And mine is william@answersfortheparanormal.org. And we'd like to now segue into a portion of our broadcast that we call our icebreaker section. This is part of the broadcast where Joe and I will ask each other a question. And I don't know what Joe's prepared for me, and he doesn't know what I've prepared for him. And so this gets us in a talk mode, and opens up for the topic of discussion tonight. So this is our icebreak section, and Joe, you want to fire away?
I do. I'll be the first, and you can follow me, brother. Okay.
Sounds good.
Here is my question for you, Bill. The homosexual movement towards acceptance has been going on now for years, even decades, to the point where we are now today. That if you disagree on any basis, it doesn't have to be a religious basis, if you disagree with homosexuality, you are labeled a homophobe and a hater. Now, my question is this, Bill. How much worse do you think this will get? Where do you see the acceptance of homosexuality by our culture and by the church in, say, 5 or 10 years? How bad do you think this is going to get, Bill?
Yeah, that's a great question, Joe. And actually, my wife and I had this discussion just the other night, and we were throwing around a few different scenarios. And here's one that I think we're eventually going to get to. Now, whether it's going to be within the next 5 years or 10 years, I don't know. Certainly, it's going to depend a lot on where the culture wants to go regarding this. And if it continues to go in the momentum and rate that it's presently in, then certainly within 5 years I could see this happening. But here's what I think is going to happen, Joe. Eventually, I believe that you are going to see governments, whether they're federal, state, local, or all of them, will begin to propose legislation to be able to label anyone that disagrees with the acceptance of this, one who is involved in hate crime.
Wow.
And the reason that I think that it's going in that direction is because you have so many now, you just need to look at whether it's the print media, whether it is the broadcast media, whether it be radio or TV. And then you have Hollywood that really has a large say on developing and molding culture. All of these are moving in the direction to make this practice as mainstream, and anyone who comes out in opposition to it, they're the one that has something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Joe, I've looked at some of the statistics on this, and you know, you would think that statistically it would show that a large majority of people come down on the side of homosexual acceptance, and a small majority coming out in objection to it, where actually it's the opposite. You have a very small percentage, but for some reason, Joe, they have the loudest voice, and they have the voice that is being heard. And let's not miss that. They're the ones being heard, the ones that are the smaller percentage that want to promote homosexuality and actually want to bring it into not only mainstream culture, but on this topic particularly that we're talking about, into the churches, into body life, so to speak. And because of that, those who are in the majority that are going to come out against that, unless their voice starts being heard, they're going to be facing some really tough times in the not too distant future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, exactly what those laws will look like and what the penalties will be for that, I can't say. But I do believe that there will be laws drafted shortly that will come out against those who come out in opposition to homosexuality.
So you're referring to basically what we've come to understand as being hate crime legislation.
Yes. Yeah, hate crime. Because, and you brought it up earlier, Joe, that you know, if you come out against this, you're labeled a hater. And so as more and more of that is broadcast out there, and people begin to process this in their brains, okay, that's hate crime. It's hate. It's hate. It's hate. And Joe, a perfect example of that, and we're going to talk about them a lot tonight,
yeah,
is a local congregation that's right here in Warminster, Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Right.
That has on their sign out front the statement, "We believe in the separation of church and hate."
Why don't you name that
so
congregation?
It's the United Church of Christ in Warminster, Pennsylvania. United Church of Christ. And on their sign, they have the statement, "We believe in the separation of church and hate." Now, first of all, Joe, even to address that,
yeah,
you and I, Joe, don't hate anybody.
No.
And
nope.
And to be labeled a hater, to say that because you're in opposition to something that the Bible clearly states is an abomination in the eyes of God.
Yes.
You know, to label someone a hater or someone who hates other people is really disingenuous, if not outright slanderous lie. And it is a lie. Now, don't get me wrong, Joe, are there some people out there who do hate homosexuals because of who they are? Oh, absolutely. I would not say for one moment that there aren't people like that out there. But I would say that the majority of people who are born-again Christians, who love the Lord, who serve Him, who are involved in people's lives, who love the gospel and the preaching of it, I don't believe for one second, Joe, that the majority of those people hate homosexuals.
No question.
In fact, we are exhorted and commanded by Christ to love our neighbor as ourselves.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean that we are to love sin.
That's right.
Ooh.
Just the opposite.
You say that word sin today, and you're going to ruffle some feathers. And I'm sure we're ruffling some feathers right now, but you know what? It's sin. The practice of homosexuality is sin. Now, is it something that condemns someone for eternity? No. All sin can be reconciled, has been paid for by the blood of Christ at the cross.
Amen.
And so the homosexual out there that would turn to Christ, that sin would be forgiven. Look, Joe, we don't come out against the person. You understand? The person who is a homosexual, we do not hate them. We love them. We want them to know the creator of the universe. We want them to know Christ on an intimate level. Now, if you say that you are someone who does love Christ intimately, you have a relationship with him, and you are homosexual, and you are bringing that into your congregation, and that's accepted in your congregation, and homosexual marriage is accepted in your congregation, that is what we're coming out against. And that is what we are saying is an abomination in the eyes of God and is really harlotry.
That's right.
Of the worst extent.
No question.
So how about you, brother? What do you think it's coming to?
Well, I want to respond to a couple of things that you said. And just for those listening, why are broadcasts going on for 2-3 hours? We do a lot of preparation, Bill and myself. But in the course of the actual broadcast, Bill will say something. I have a notebook right in front of me that Bill says something. I jot something down because I think it's necessary to address something that you said, and I'm sure vice versa. So in the course of your answering my question, Bill, I wrote a few things down. So let me first address what you said about what we actually say about the person who is involved in the homosexual lifestyle or the lesbian lifestyle. There's a difference between judgment and discernment with regards to, and let's keep it specifically regarding homosexuality and lesbianism, bisexuality, all sorts of deviant sexual life styles and choices. I am not your judge. For me to be the judge of all of this, I would be condemning you. You know, it's very simple if you put it in terms of a court case. The judge sits up there in his black robe, okay? The defendant is found guilty by the jury, okay? The judge can impose sentence or the jury imposes sentence. And in that case, the jury is also the judge. We are not to mete out punishment. That's God's role because he's God.
Amen.
When I say that homosexuality is a sin, what I'm doing is discerning from the scriptures. That's all. I'm identifying sin as being sin. I can't, even if I wanted to judge you, I couldn't judge you because I don't have that power. However, I do have the power invested in me as a result of having the Holy Spirit residing in me to speak from the scriptures and say, you are sinning by engaging in homosexual activities or lesbian activities. In the same way that I would say someone who I knew was willingly involved in lying in any context, you're sinning. Am I judging? No. I'm identifying sin as being what it is, sin. I'm discerning from the scriptures. I can't be your judge. I just can't be. So that's one of the things that is thrown back into the people's faces, to anyone's face who says you're sinning in a homosexual lifestyle. Oh, judge not lest you be judged. Well, first of all, you're taking that scripture out of context. I can't be your judge. I don't have that power. Also, Bill, as far as how bad it can get, I believe that the educational system is, as it has been, involved in social engineering. Do we have to even talk about, how much time do we have to spend talking about the myth and the lie of evolution as it has invaded the public education system, the public school systems that most of our children attend? So in the same way, I believe that the acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle, and it'll be in the same way that evolution has been allegedly based on scientific knowledge, homosexuality will be preached. And I use that word preached because it's going to get people to change their minds. Mm-hmm. And resulting from what they say is scientific knowledge, they will engineer people to believe that homosexuality is normal. It's going on now, but it's going to get worse. It's going to be more prolific in the way that they spread this doctrine. And let me go back to what you were talking about, Bill, as far as this poll, as far as how many people are actually homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
I use this example all the time, and no one, as many times as I've used it, has argued with me. If homosexuality is so normal and is so acceptable, and I'm not even talking about religious terms that where a father or a mother would say to their son or their daughter, no, this is wrong. The Bible says that it's wrong. I'm just talking about nature. Easy observation. Two males cannot produce another life. Two females cannot produce another life. The way that God has determined it in his creation, he's made it impossible for two men to be married, for two women to be married. And I will tell people what marriage is according to the Bible, not according to what most churches today hold to, that on the day of the ceremony, some preacher determines that someone's married, that two people are married.
Right. Right.
I will quickly address that later on. It's just another way for the church to make money. I don't care who gets angry at me. So I use this analogy. If you polled 100 fathers, Bill, or 100 mothers, and you said, tell me, sir, tell me, ma'am, if your son came home one night with another man and said, "Dad, this is the man I'm going to marry. We are engaged to be married." How many of those fathers would say, "Oh, son, I'm so happy. I'm just so happy for the two of you"? How many mothers would say that they are so happy that their daughters brought home another woman and said, "Mom, this is the woman that I want to marry"? And again, removing all religious bias. How many of those 100 families that you poll would say, "Oh my gosh, I'm just so happy. I can't wait for the ceremony for all of our friends and all of our neighbors to see you with another man, son. You with another woman, daughter, up there saying your vows." I would say, Bill, 90 out of 100 of those men and women, those fathers and mothers, would say, I would be appalled at that.
Yeah, I think that would be accurate.
So don't give me this nonsense that it is all of a sudden we had this awakening, Bill. We've had this awakening where even all of the sports giants and all of the sports teams, the professional sports franchises, and all of the sports talk he-men on sports talk radio now say homosexuality is great. It's normal. Don't tell me that there was this massive awakening, that everybody was just going to sleep at night thinking, geez, when are people going to realize that homosexuality is okay? That's a bunch of baloney. That's bull. And it's a lie. And to me, it's the evidence of the agenda and the engineering of the devil. I repeat, to me, it's the evidence of the engineering and the agenda of the devil, who's working through human agents to get everybody to believe that this is acceptable and it's okay. And if you don't agree with it, you're going to be labeled a hater. So you have a question for me, brother?
Yeah, I do, Joe.
Okay.
Here it is. Whose responsibility is it in a body of believers to recognize false teaching and to do something about it? Whose responsibility is it, Joe?
It's everybody's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility, beginning with the most spiritually mature in the congregation itself, who would be identified as the seniors or the elders of any particular congregation or assembly. Not those who are appointed as a result of nepotism. I know somebody, so let's make them an elder. No, I'm talking about people who are spiritually mature that don't have to have a sign on their door that say Elder Smith or Elder Johnson. I'm talking about the people that in Hebrews are referred to as the leaders because they are spiritually mature. What? How are they spiritually mature? Because they obey the scriptures. I repeat, because they obey, they know and they obey the scriptures. It's their responsibility, and it's everybody's responsibility in a congregation. Because if the leaders, if those people who are identified as leaders or elders or seniors in a congregation, those who are identified as spiritually mature, all of a sudden are starting to say that homosexuality, hey, let's rethink this. This may, you know, we may be wrong about this. Let's start relooking and rethinking about it. It's everybody's responsibility to know the word of God in any given congregation. You can't just follow the leader. You only follow leaders when they are following the scriptures. And when they don't follow the scriptures, you better know the scriptures so that you can correct them. Show me in the scriptures where the elders can't be corrected.
That's right.
So, Bill, bottom line, it's everybody's responsibility.
Yep. You know, Joe, I thought a lot about this question because I think that as we get into our topic of discussion tonight, and in particular, question number three, I think that we have lazy Christians today, Joe. I think that we have people that are in congregations that that really don't want to have a voice in any way. That what they really want to do is have someone tell them what the Bible has to say. And you know what, as long as those kind of things go on in congregations today, we're going to have this onslaught of false teaching become more prevalent in our churches today. And seems our board is being tampered with a little bit here. I'm getting a lot of interference on my microphone, and Joe has dropped off, but he's called back in, so I'm gonna bring him back on the air. Hey, Joe, you there?
I'm here, Bill. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, you dropped off there real quick.
That was my fault. How's my level?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, I can hear you good.
I'm good. Okay, that's my fault because, like I was telling you earlier, this type of headset, this type of wireless, if you adjust it in your ear, you can easily disconnect yourself. So that's what happened, and that's a result of my being Italian and being very demonstrative, even though there's nobody in my bedroom, but I'm walking around like a madman, banging things and grabbing my head and my hair. So I shut myself off. So that's the way it goes. Well, what can I say?
You okay there?
I'm okay, brother. I'm just going to try not to play with this this phone too much.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you heard what I commented as a result of your answer, Joe.
No, I didn't, Bill.
But, yeah, what I was saying was that one of the things that I see today, Joe, is that we really have a lot of lazy Christians. We have Christians that want to sit in the pews and they want to be told what the scriptures say. And they want to be led to think and act in a certain way. And and they're really depending on the leaders of any congregation to tell them what's right and what's wrong. And because of that, false teachers have come into the congregations and they've corrupted them. And it's, you know, it's akin to what I read last week from Acts 20, you know, that among your own, Paul said, ravenous wolves will come in and will not spare the flock. And Joe, that's what we see happening. It's and it's going to keep on happening. Until, like you said, people take the responsibility upon themselves to know the Word of God, to know the Scriptures, to be able to identify false teaching when it comes into their congregation, and then to do something about it.
That's
and they have the authority, they have the authority in Christ to do that. The Scriptures make clear what the Word of God is for. For correction, for rebuking, you know.
That's right.
We need Christians to wake up today, Joe. How many times do we talk about among ourselves and we text back and forth every day that it's a slumber party out there? It's a real slumber party. And our charge, our exhortation to the body of believers is to wake up.
That's right.
know what the Word of God is saying. Have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be your teacher and not someone who is paid to tell you.
Exactly. That's good. That's a good response, Bill.
All right. We're going to move on from our icebreaker segment of this broadcast tonight. Joe, you have a couple scriptures there that you want to read as we get into the topic of what the Bible has to say regarding homosexuality.
Yeah, I want to read from Isaiah, and I also want to read from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4 as well. And it pertains to certainly this topic tonight, but is not confined only to this topic. And I think that the listeners will understand once I read the scriptures that what is taking place, Isaiah spoke about and also was addressed by Paul in his writing to Timothy as well. This is from Isaiah chapter 5. We are seeing this unfold as it did as well in Isaiah's time. We are seeing the same thing unfold before our very eyes. And I'm sure that every generation can name something that was related to what Isaiah the prophet was speaking to here, as well as Paul the apostle to Timothy. But in the regards of homosexuality being accepted, this is what Isaiah has to say in chapter 5. Woe to those who call evil good. This is verse 20 of chapter 5. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. If we don't see this unfolding before our eyes, our very eyes right now, because especially we see it infiltrated into the what is at least identified with the body of Christ, those who identify with the name of Jesus Christ, who are calling evil good, and you used the reference to the United Church of Christ in Warminster, not even 2 miles from your house, Bill. They call evil good because they agree with homosexuality and lesbianism, and they would have to agree with every other sexual immorality involved and exposed in the Bible. They would have to agree with adultery, because the scriptures are as clear on adultery as they are on homosexuality. They would have to agree with bestiality, because the scriptures are as clear on bestiality as they are on homosexuality. They would have to agree with bisexuality, because the scriptures are clear on that as well. They call evil good and good evil, because by that very sign they said, we support the separation of church and hate. They are calling you and me and everyone who identifies homosexuality and lesbianism as a sin haters. So they are calling us evil. They're calling the word of God evil. Think about that, Bill. They are calling the word of God evil. And by calling the word of God evil, they are calling God evil. Woe to them. Woe to them. And I invited
Amen,
the
brother.
Church. I sent them an email, Bill, a week ago. And there was nothing blasphemous. There was nothing hateful. I identified them for who they are, according to the scriptures. I invited them to listen tonight and to call in if they want to disagree. but they're going to have to disagree from the scriptures, not from our culture. Because you're identifying with the name of Jesus Christ. You have on your billboard the United Church of Christ. If you had on the United Church of the World or the United Church of Warminster or the United Church of this or that, I wouldn't bother you. But you name the name of Jesus Christ, and that's blasphemous. Darkness for light. Homosexuals live in darkness. Those who agree with that lifestyle live in darkness. Liars live in darkness. Adulterers live in darkness. Those involved in pornography live in darkness. Those who are trapped in substance abuse live in darkness. But in this instance, they're putting the darkness of homosexuality, and they're saying it's light. It's illuminant. By agreeing with homosexuality, you're illumined in some way. And you put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The scriptures are just identified as sweet in our mouths, sweet in our stomachs. You're calling the word of God bitter. And what God calls evil, you're calling sweet. And you're wise in your own eyes because you're declaring what wisdom is apart from the scriptures. You're saying, we can say homosexuality is okay. Not only that, you encourage others to involve themselves in it. And you're clever in your own sight.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture from Timothy, Bill, no less profound or dire. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10. This is Paul talking to Timothy, who is going to be a shepherd. He was going to be a shepherd in the town of Ephesus as a result of his spiritual maturity, not as a result of any appointment. And I can guarantee you Timothy didn't get paid for being a shepherd in Ephesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10, starting verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching. This is Paul speaking. My way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I would categorize tonight what we're doing, Bill, as rebuking and correcting the abominable practice of homosexuality and its acceptance in those who name the name of Christ.
Yes.
Chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. These are the times that we're in now, Bill. People have turned their ears from sound doctrine. They turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And they've gathered to themselves teachers who will teach them what their itching ears want to hear. This is what is being propagated at the UCC Church in Warminster. when they gather together for their pastors to get up there and for the Sunday school teachers to get up there, they're going to teach them from the scriptures, as they will say, that homosexuality is acceptable, when the scriptures tell us clearly that is an abominable practice, because the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Nothing has changed. God's law will stand until the end of the age. And I will mm-hmm. read this from scripture tonight. The law is still alive and in practice. It doesn't get you saved, but the law, Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will be removed from the law till all things have been accomplished. And I'm going to describe from the scriptures that all things have not been accomplished yet. So this is the basis of what we're going to be doing tonight, Bill. These are just two scriptures that tell us that the congregation that names the name of Christ must be aware that there are false teachers ready to tell you what you want to hear, and that this culture today, the militant homosexual agenda in our culture is so pervasive. And as you said, Bill, their voice is loud, even though they're a minority, their voice is loud. And one of the victims, they've allowed themselves to be victims, are those who name the name of Christ, who are being bullied into accepting this abominable practice. Hello?
from our break. This is Bill and Joe of Answers for the Paranormal. And I want to apologize for our technical difficulties. Seems we keep getting knocked off of the internet. You know what, Joe? It's incredible. You know, you and I could be talking about the sorrowful Phillies or the Eagles,
yeah,
or anybody else, and we'd have no problems. But because we're talking about a topic such as tonight regarding homosexuality in the churches, and suddenly we can't stay on the air. So it's just really frustrating. And again, we apologize to anyone who was listening live and suddenly we dropped off. But we're back, and we're trusting that the Lord is going to keep us on now, and we're going to continue through. You want to say anything, Joe?
Yeah, I do. This is commonplace for us. Without belaboring the point, my cell phone is messed with all the time, Bill, as far as shutting off by itself. The T-Mobile store has told me it's a software problem. So apparently I've got a software problem with two different phones now. And also the Jabra Talk that I'm on now is telling me that my battery is low. So when this battery dies, Bill, I'm going to have to call you back again on my handset. So that's a little warning about what was probably going to come at any time now.
Okay. Hey, we're just going to roll with the punches tonight, Joe.
Listen, even though this Jabra Talk is supposed to go for 10 hours, I used it for our last broadcast, which was 3 hours, and tonight is not even, what, it's an hour? So that's
an hour,
4 hours.
Yeah.
So, but they're telling me that in 10 hours, I should get 10 hours out of this battery. So, you know, look, I am never going to toot the horn for paranormal investigators.
Right.
But one of the things that those guys stumbled upon is the fact that what they would call ghosts or energies can drain electrical equipment, electronic
mm-hmm.
equipment, batteries on video recorders, batteries on voice recorders. Yeah, they can do that. It's just not, you know, grandma doing that or some energy doing it. It's a demon doing it. And it's the same thing that's happening tonight. So, like you said, Bill, let's roll with the punches and let's move on.
Yeah, amen, Joe. All right, Joe has a couple of contemporary news articles that he'd like to read right now. And these are really telling as to what's going on today, Joe. So this regards the sports entertainment world, correct?
Yes, it does. Two stories from the NFL, and these are recent. This just goes to show that there are three ways in my mind that the militant homosexual agenda, and they are militant. They've got a lot of people and a lot of heavy hitters working for them. This is how they get you. They get you through Hollywood propaganda. Actually, four. They get you through the mainstream media. They get you through the sports world because they know the impact that professional sports and also collegiate sports now has on this country. And the fourth one is the most insidious of all. They are propagating their agenda through what is known as the church. Those four ways are they're covering the earth with their agenda. Here are two stories recently in the world from the world of the NFL. This is from July 26th. Are you still there, Bill? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, Joe. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. I just got to make sure. I don't want to start going on without knowing that you're there. Because if you're not there, the audience is not there probably. So this is from July 26th. the heading of this story is Giants hiring of Tyree slammed because of his three-year-old comments on gays. Here's the story. David Tyree is famous for one of the most memorable catches in Super Bowl history. However, since his former team hired him for the front office this week, some are saying the New York Giants have dropped the ball. On Tuesday, the Giants named Tyree, who made a spectacular against-the-helmet reception in the Giants' Super Bowl victory over the New England Patriots to cap the 2007 season, as Director of Player Development. Shortly thereafter, NewJersey.com brought up Tyree's views on homosexuality as expressed in a series of tweets 3 years ago in which he touted gay conversion therapy, a practice mostly discounted by the medical community. Catch that, mostly discounted by the medical community, and rejected the idea of being gay as anything other than a person's choice. During a Twitter exchange about the connection between the gay rights and civil rights movements, Tyree responded, "I'll never be a former black. I have met former homosexuals." The Human Rights Campaign said the Giants made a mistake in hiring Tyree for the front office position. The idea that someone can change their sexual orientation or gender identity is ludicrous, and the New York Giants are risking their credibility by hiring someone who publicly advocates this junk science, Human Rights Campaign President Chad Griffin said in the statement. His opposition to basic legal equality aside, David Tyree's proselytizing of such dangerous practices goes against the positive work the Giants organization has done in recent years. The Giants said Tyree's views were his own and not that of the club. General Manager Jerry Reese said Tyree was qualified for the job and, quote, "sometimes you say some things that maybe you don't want to say or you shouldn't have said or something like that, and things can get blown out of proportion," unquote. Within a couple of days, however, Tyree said he had been speaking with Wade Davis, a former NFL quarterback who is now a gay activist and advisor to gay rookie Michael Sam. And interactions with Wade over the past few months are much more representative of my current beliefs toward the gay community than some tweets from several years ago. I would absolutely support any player on the Giants who identified as gay in any way I could. Let me just make a couple of quick comments, Bill, from this this story. Okay. The report says that NewJersey.com brought up Tyree's views on homosexuality as expressed in a series of tweets 3 years ago. So what this indicates to me, Bill, is that you have watchdogs out there for the pro-homo agenda who scour the news for significant hirings in the sports world and who do some sort of background check on the individual to see where they stand on the homosexual issue. And if they don't agree with it, they're going to bring it out. See, that's how they work. This is a calculative war. They have a war room, Bill. I hope people understand this. The pro-homosexual militant agenda has a war room, and their general is the devil. I repeat, you see, I'm not afraid to say things that the normal church is afraid to say for some reason. Their general is the devil because they are hearing his voice. That's the very nature of what a general is. Those under him hear his voice and carry out his orders. So they're scouring David Tyree. Think about that. David Tyree's tweets from 3 years ago.
Incredible.
He touted gay conversion therapy. Oh, how evil. How evil that this man would disagree with homosexuality and tout conversion. And I'm going to read from some websites from former homosexuals in case people don't believe that that can happen. Let me comment again. When David Tyree says, "I'll never be a former black, I have met former homosexuals." Now, no one will disagree that There is no such thing as a former black person. You're black, you're black. You're white, you're white. Your skin is red, it's red. It's yellow, it's yellow. It's brown, it's brown. But there are such things as former homosexuals, again, which I will substantiate. So Tyree is a liar? That's what the article is basically saying.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to believe there are not countless numbers of people who were once immersed in the homosexual and lesbian perversions? Do these individuals still struggle with those homosexual tendencies? I'm sure that they do, Bill, as do I with certain sins.
Right.
But they have turned away from it. But the very loud bullhorn voices of the homosexual approval police would have you believe that these people don't exist. They're calling you a liar. They're calling David Tyree a liar. This is from the story. The Human Rights Campaign said the Giants made a mistake in hiring Tyree for the front office position. Who do these people think they are? Who are they to say who the Giants should or shouldn't hire? David Tyree violate anyone's rights? Is he advocating violence or discrimination towards homosexuals or lesbians? Or did he merely express his beliefs in this area? And for that, they would have the Giants discriminate against Tyree. Hypocrites! Hypocrites! You don't want any discrimination against someone who identify themselves as homosexual, but you want to discriminate against someone who says that they don't agree with that lifestyle. You don't want David Tyree to be hired because he says he disagrees with that lifestyle. He's not violating anyone's rights.
That's right, Joe.
He's not advocating violence against any of them. All he said was he touted conversion therapy. And for this, the Human Rights Campaign said you shouldn't have hired him. Hypocrites. The story goes on to say the idea that someone can change their sexual orientation or gender identity is ludicrous. And the New York Giants are risking their credibility by hiring someone who publicly advocates this junk science. Oh, okay. It's a junk science. Okay. Now, I'm going to read off from some list, Bill.
Okay. Joe, before you go, let me give the call-out number again, 877-455-6692. Call in now with your question or comment. All right, Joe.
Take a quick swig of my water, Bill. Here's what I Googled, Bill. Here's what I Googled. No, I don't find what I said here. I Googled, I believe, testimonies of former homosexuals and lesbians. So if anyone wants to Google that, please do it. Don't just take the word of the Human Rights Campaign that this can happen. Google testimonies of former homosexuals and lesbians. This is just from the first page of that Google, Bill.
Okay.
This website is www.gcmwatch.com. That's the Gay Christian Movement Watch. There you will see 100 ex-homosexual video testimonies, Bill, all on YouTube. 100. Jennifer Jacobs, Roger Ford, Veronica DeLise Entes, Chris Delaney, Giuseppe Povio, David Bryan, Costina Shepherd, Shannon Smith, Steve Martin, Dennis Jernigan, Cleo Bias, D. Ray Elder, Anthony Figueroa. If I went on for another 90 names, you get the idea.
Uh-huh.
These are video testimonies of people who were immersed in this deviant lifestyle who are no longer immersed in that lifestyle. Listen to their testimony. Don't tell me it can't happen. Here's a man who has a Facebook page. It's called Ex-Homosexual Through Jesus Christ. www.facebook.com/pages/ex-homosexual-through-Jesus-Christ. Another one, SSA Hope Testimonials, Journeys Out of Homosexuality, and SSA stands for Same-Sex Attraction, www.ssahope.com/testimonials.hotmail. Another one, Hope for Homosexuals, http://familypolicy.net/hope/P=399. HopeForHomosexuals.com would be much more simple. Ex-homosexuals from a website known as conservapedia.com/ex-homosexuals. SBM Worldwide. This is a ministry. SBM Worldwide Incorporated is an evangelistic, educational, exhortational, and encouraging Christian ministry dedicated to ministering to homosexual-identified men and women who are seeking change. This is a guy who was a former homosexual who is now ministering the gospel to those who are trapped. They think they're trapped in that lifestyle.
Hmm.
Here is one, Ex-Homosexuals Testimonies, Americans for Truth. AFTAH, that's Americans for Truth About Homosexuality.com. That's another website. That's the first page, Bill, and I don't even think that's all of them on the first page. So if you don't think that people are actually who were homosexuals and lesbians who are no longer in that lifestyle, do they struggle with it? I'm sure they do, like I said. But they're no longer practicing it, and they're identifying it as wrong. And if you want to bring the charge, oh, well, you're just reading off from Christian ministries. So what? You're telling me it can't happen. What difference does it make how it happens? Don't tell me it can't happen. Because the scriptures tell us that anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The former things have passed away. All things have become new. So you don't. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of this? Are you afraid of the truth? Don't tell me that it's junk science. And science means knowledge. It's a Greek word, scientia, means knowledge. I have knowledge because I can read. I haven't even looked at these testimonies. I will, but I challenge you people who don't think it can happen. Go to these websites and listen to the testimonies of people, unless you think they're all lying. This is a worldwide conspiracy.
Hmm.
Now, I want to read another quick article, Bill, from the Miami Herald. This is from these two articles about David Tyree and this cornerback for the Miami Dolphins. I'm reading this to demonstrate that in our culture now, you're not allowed to think against homosexuality. Well, you may be allowed to. So far, the thought police haven't invaded us to that degree. But as far as expressing those thoughts on Twitter or on any other social media, you will be found out. And if you're important enough, you will be chastised and penalized. So you better not come out against homosexuality or you will be shot down. If there is a guy on WIP Sports Talk Radio who has the guts or the fanatic 97.5 here in Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio who has the guts to come out and say what they – I know that most of them probably think that they don't agree with homosexuality for whatever reason, they would be fired tomorrow because they've got to answer to their bosses who are the merchandisers.
Right.
Who want to sell things to homosexuals, and they don't want to distance their audience from Sports Talk Radio because they know a lot of people listen to that rubbish, that worthless anymore, which is Sports Talk. Let me read this article, Bill. This is from the Miami Herald, posted on Monday, May the 12th. The Dolphins swiftly and publicly here's the headline. Miami Dolphins fine – suspend safety Don Jones for tweets about St. Louis Rams linebacker Michael Sam. And I'll let you tell people who Michael Sam is, Bill.
Yeah, Michael Sam was the 2014 draft pick of the Los Angeles for the St. Louis Rams.
Right.
He is a practicing homosexual, and he came out before the draft, right before the draft, to proclaim his sexual preference. And on draft day, as his name was read by the commissioner of the NFL, he turned to his quote-unquote partner and planted a big smooch on his lips
right.
as he was as his name was read out as being drafted. So this is in response. This Dolphins player came out in response to that act on draft day.
That's right. Here's the article. The Dolphins swiftly and publicly reprimanded Don Jones late Sunday for his Twitter remarks critical of Michael Sam, fining him and barring him from team activities until he undergoes sensitivity training. In a statement released by the team, Jones apologized for tweeting OMG and horrible after seeing Sam sharing a celebratory kiss with his partner on national TV Saturday evening. Sam had just been drafted by the St. Louis Rams in the 7th round, become the first openly gay player selected by an NFL team. I want to apologize to Michael Sam for the inappropriate comments that I made last night on social media, said Jones, a backup defensive back. I take full responsibility for them, and I regret that these tweets took away from his draft moment. I remember last year when I was drafted in the 7th round and all of the emotions and the happiness I felt when I received the call that gave me an opportunity to play for an NFL team. And I wish him all the best in his NFL career. I sincerely apologize to Mr. Stephen Ross, my teammates, coaches, staff, and fans for these tweets. I am committed to represent the values of the Miami Dolphins organization and appreciate the opportunity I have been given to do so going forward. Although the Dolphins did not disclose the amount of the fine, the fact that they made the punishment public was significant. Dolphins coach Joe Philbin rarely discusses internal discipline with reporters, but made it a point to condemn Jones' words on official team letterhead Sunday night. Quote, we were disappointed to read Don's tweets during the NFL draft, Philbin said. They were inappropriate and unacceptable, and we regret the negative impact these comments had on such an important weekend for the NFL. Catch that, Bill? We met with Don Sunday about respect, discrimination, and judgment. These comments are not consistent with the values and standards of our program. We will continue to emphasize and educate our players. Will not be tolerated. So that means that when you go to work for the Miami Dolphins, you are not allowed to have any thoughts contrary to homosexuality. If you
Incredible.
Do, you better keep them to yourself. If you don't, if you're for it, you know what? Celebrate it. Tweet it. Make a banner. Get yourself a rainbow poster. But if you disagree with it, you better keep it to yourself. Is this America? Is this the America that I keep hearing about, the land of the free and the home of the brave? That's
not
baloney.
Anymore, Joe.
No, you people can stick that motto anymore. This guy was not allowed to tweet that he thought that kiss between two men was disgusting and horrible.
Yep. You know, Joe, I wonder if the Dolphins will at any time this year play God Bless America during their season.
Bill. They do it all the time in Major League Baseball. Every 7th inning, God Bless America. They do it in the national anthem, don't they?
Yeah.
Before every football game. You know what? Again, for those who are too afraid to say it, yeah, God bless America. Your God is the devil. Don't tell me your God is the God of the Bible, because he calls this an abomination. And I'm not going to use the gay word. It's another thing that's been confiscated. These people aren't gay. The word gay means happy. I have a local radio station that I listen to all the time, Bill. They play music from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Big band music. The word gay is in every song. It meant happy. But just like the rainbow, that God said he would never judge the earth again with water, and he set a rainbow in the sky as a sign of that covenant, the devil stole that rainbow signal sign. He's also stolen the word gay. So I never refer to homosexuals or lesbians as gay. Okay, they're homosexuals and they're lesbians. Again, this isn't hate speech. I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. And don't think that this isn't a message to every other NFL team. This mm-hmm. was made public for a reason. This could have stayed internal, right, Bill?
Should have stayed internal.
They chose to make this public because they want to show everybody how they're towing the line and how agreeable they are with this abomination. And anybody else in the NFL, any other player in the NFL or the NHL or the NBA or Major League Baseball who has any thoughts contrary to homosexuality, regardless of what grounds you choose, if you want to say from the scriptures, or if you want to say, you know what, I just don't believe that it's right, that nature tells me that two men shouldn't be together and two women shouldn't be together, you better keep it to yourself or you're going to lose your job, as Mr. Jones here realized. He was fined and he was barred from team activities until he underwent sensitivity training, Bill. Think about that.
Yeah.
What is
now you're being made now you're being made what to think.
It's incredible. This is happening under people's noses. Where's the outrage? Especially from the body of Christ, where's the outrage? Instead, you have the opposite. You have more congregations and denominations kowtowing to the militant homosexual agenda in the same way that they kowtow to the evolutionary teaching of the 60s yep. and 70s, to the point where you have a Christian figure as Pat Robertson saying it's an embarrassment for Christians to teach creation from Genesis. Yeah, Pat Robertson said that. You don't believe me, go check it out. For those of you who want to hold on to Pat Robertson for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on in a couple of recent stories, Bill.
Yep.
In our culture.
You know what, Joe, that... Yeah, and that segues very nicely into what we want to talk about next, and it's this. This practice, then, is making inroads in the churches today. So we want to bring out some particulars as to what inroads are being made in the churches. And, Joe, you want to begin with your article? And
yeah,
and then we'll read from a couple other sites.
I have a list here of Christian denominations' positions on homosexuality. This is from Wikipedia. The categories are as such. They list the denomination, and then they list if they allow as members homosexuals, if they ordain homosexuals, if they bless the unions of homosexuals, and if they marry themselves homosexuals. So the difference between the blessing of the unions and the marrying is if you're already in union with a member of the same sex, this congregation will bless that union. And the difference between that and marrying is this the particular congregation will actually do the ceremony in their own congregation. So in the deference to time, I will just read those congregations that have gone the way of the devil in this area. What you want to have, if you're a denomination, is no across the board. No, you don't allow them as members. No, you don't ordain them. No, you don't bless their unions. No, you don't marry them. Okay? So I'm just going to list the ones that have any sort of variation or waffling. The Anglican Church varies as far as allowing members, ordaining, blessing unions, and marrying. American Baptist, allowing as members, they vary. Blessing unions, no. Marrying, no. But official denomination position and local congregations' practices may differ. So they have the authority to their position as far as blessing unions and marrying. That's the American Baptist Church. National Baptist Convention. They allow as members, and that varies. They bless unions, varies. They marry themselves, it varies. Southern Baptist, there was no across the board. Now, this is a denomination called Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Yes, they allow them as members. They ordain, it varies. Blessing of unions varies, and marrying varies. Reformed Church in America, allow as members, yes. Ordains, varies. Blesses unions, varies. Marries, varies. Church of England, allow as members, yes. Ordains, yes. Blesses unions, varies. Church of Scotland, allow as members, yes. Ordains, yes. Blesses unions, varies. Eastern Orthodox, allow as members, yes, but are denied holy sacraments until full repentance. Okay. Episcopal, allow as members, yes. Ordains, yes. Blesses unions, varies. Marries, varies. Let me read this in the Episcopal heading of whether they ordain or not. Yes, they ordain. In parenthesis, all dioceses ordain candidates regardless of orientation. A minority of bishops require celibacy. Others have shown an expectation that homosexual clergy should take advantage of what legal and ecclesiastical recognition is available for their unions. Don't worry about what the Bible says. Just make up your own laws.
That's right.
Community of Christ. Allow as members, yes. Ordains, varies. Blesses unions, varies. Marries, varies. You know, Bill, with the varies, to me, that's a yes. How about to you?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay. Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Allows members, yes. Ordains, yes. Blesses unions, varies. Marries, varies. Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. Allows members, yes. Ordains, yes. Blesses unions, yes. Marries, yes. German Lutheran and United Churches in Evangelical Church in Germany. Allows members, yes. Ordains, yes. Blesses unions, varies. Mennonite, varies, varies. Varies, allows members, ordains, varies. United Methodist Church, allows members, varies, ordains, varies. Presbyterian Church, USA, allows members, yes, ordains, yes. Blesses unions, varies. Religious Society of Friends, Quaker, allow as members, yes. Ordains, varies. Blesses unions, varies. Marries, varies. Roman Catholic Church, allow as members, yes, in parentheses, practicing homosexuals are denied the sacraments. So why would you allow them to be members, Mr. Roman Catholic Church? Ordains, no. Blesses, unions, no. Marries, no. I wonder if they would, if they allow them as members just to get their money. Let me think about that and get back to you, Bill. Old Catholic. Yeah. Were you going to say something, Bill?
No, I thought you already thought about it.
Yeah, that's why they allow them as members to get their money, yes.
Okay.
No apologies. Yeah. Old Catholic. Old Catholic. Allows members, yes. Ordains, yes. Blesses unions, yes. Swedenborgian. Allows members, yes. Ordains, varies. Blesses unions, varies. Marries, varies. Church of Sweden. Yes, 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 yes. Unification Church. Allows members, yes. My question to these congregations, if you allow them as members, why wouldn't you allow them to be ordained? Why wouldn't you bless their unions? Well, why wouldn't, if you're going to be yes, you should be yes across the board, right?
That make more sense.
Talk about fence straddling. United Church of Canada. Yes, 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 and yes. United Church of Christ. These are your friends around the corner, Bill. Yes, 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 and varies. Vineyard, USA. Allow as members. Varies. Rosicrucian Fellowship. In parentheses,
oh.
Esoteric. In parentheses, esoteric Christians.
My old buddy down there, he's a Rosicrucian.
Who's that?
You know, my buddy. Howie?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you. Allow as members, undefined. That's it for them. That's all for the congregations, and I'm sure that that's not exhaustive. But just naming yourself as a church, you're identifying with God. You're identifying with the name of Christ.
That's right.
Because all of these that I have just named, none of them are Islamic. None of them are Buddhist. None of them are Hindu. None of them are New Age, per se.
Mm.
They all call themselves, they all, at some point, whether in their sermons or in their doctrine or in their Sunday school teaching or all of the above, name Jesus Christ somewhere in there. And just by all of the denominations that I went through and had said yes to anything, it tells you how serious this problem is. And this is why we are, this is going to be our last broadcast in anytime soon, anytime in the near future. We've got so many other things to get to, but this is so serious that we dedicated two broadcasts to it. But as far as I know, Bill, unless you know different than me, this is tonight's the end of it for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, Joe, I just wanted to back up that list of congregations that you just read from, that you just read about. I just want to back up what some of them state. You know, I mean, you've listed them. I want to read what some of them state as part of their beliefs, okay? So these are the beliefs of those who support, and it's talking about congregations here, of those who support same-sex unions and slash or marriages. Okay, this is... this is from Wikipedia. You can find this on www.en.wikipedia.org/wiki/blessing of same-sex unions in Christian churches. Okay. So this is what they believe, Joe. Number one, it is an affirmative good, and this goes to your Isaiah passage. It is an affirmative good that stands alongside straight marriage and committed monastic celibacy as a revelation of God's self in the world. Okay? The blessing of same-sex unions and same-sex marriage is an affirmative good that stands alongside straight marriage and committed monastic celibacy as a revelation of God's self in the world. Number two, it is the logical coherence of core Christian doctrines such as the Trinity, the Incarnation, the Resurrection, and the Ascension, and it is improved. Okay, so those doctrines of the Trinity, the Incarnation, the Resurrection, and the Ascension, it is in those doctrines are improved through the integration of gay marriage into the Christian concept of marriage.
Wow. Wow.
Number three, our understanding of marriage as a metaphor of Christ's relationship with the church, talking about Ephesians 5 there, our understanding of marriage as a metaphor of Christ's relationship with the church is strengthened by assimilating homosexual marriage into that metaphor. Number four. Steam coming out of your ears yet, Joe? Number four.
Go ahead.
Some scholars maintain that scripture in the original language contains no prohibition of homosexuality, but does record the same-sex marriage. By taking a closer look of reading the scripture in the original Hebrew and Greek, we discover that God never condemned homosexuality and that same-sex marriage existed in the Bible.
Incredible.
To tell a homosexual that the Bible is good news, but it says that their ability to love on a one-to-one basis with a mate means they are sinful and perverted in God's eyes is a gross contradiction in terms.
Wow.
What's more, God is not saying this to homosexual people. God's word says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is the good news for modern homosexuals. Hello? That is the good news for anyone who is in darkness because of sin.
Incredible.
And lastly, Joe, this is the belief that the biblical references to homosexuality were uttered in the context of promiscuous same-sex practice of the Hellenistic cultures by Paul and the cultures surrounding the people of Israel by Moses in Deuteronomy. This kind of sex without love, catch that, Joe? This kind of sex without love was practiced in lieu of going to female prostitutes, also by heterosexual men. It is a discriminating misconception of our times to transfer that prohibition of such promiscuous practice without love to what we discuss here, which is durable, long-term, and choosy same-sex union. I can't believe I got through that, Joe. That is the core beliefs of those list of denominations that you read.
Well, the argument from what I heard you read, Bill, what they're basing, the only thing that they can count on is that the scriptures aren't saying what they're saying. And as I read from 2 Timothy, Bill, they will heap them to themselves teachers who will teach them what their itching ears want to hear. They've found some quote unquote scholars who will tell them that the original languages never denounced homosexuality in scriptures. Is that right? Really? So then, what are the majority of the scholars saying?
Mm-hmm.
What are the? You don't even have to be a scholar.
No.
I'm not a scholar in Hebrew. I am not a scholar in Greek or Aramaic. But I can guarantee you if I get 10 scholars, quote unquote, who will say that that's not what the scriptures are saying. They're saying as long as you do it in love, it's okay. It was only condemned outside of the nation of Israel from those peoples who were doing those practices without love. And if I had 10 scholars in those languages who understand what the scriptures say, I can guarantee you if I have an unbiased jury, I can guarantee you, as much as I can guarantee you, if Ken Hovind went up against Richard Dawkins in a debate on evolution, the jury would come back and say that Richard Dawkins is a moron for believing in evolution and teaching it. And the same would be said for those 10 scholars who would try, who twist themselves into a pretzel trying to get the scriptures to say what they want them to say. This is what agenda-driven theology is about. It's the same thing that Calvin. It's the same thing that Calvinists do.
Yep.
So from what you've read, Bill, there is nothing leading me to believe that there's any validity to that argument whatsoever.
You know what, Joe? If you're going to go by this way of thinking,
yeah.
Hey, I love my dog Boo Boo.
Mm-hmm.
I love him.
Bestiality?
So yeah, what would prohibit me from having a relationship with my dog?
Nothing.
The scriptures do, Joe.
I mean, that's something that we need to make clear tonight. We're focusing on homosexuality because we believe that the scriptures are clear in their condemnation and identification as an abominable act, homosexuality. In the same way that they're clear that murder is sinful, that dishonoring your father and your mother is sinful, that lying is sinful, that stealing is sinful, that bearing false witness is sinful, that adultery is sinful, that any sexually immoral practice is sinful. So are these people who are trying to promote the idea that that's not what the Bible says about homosexuality? Are you still there, Bill?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Are they also saying that about murder? That's not really what the scriptures say about murder. That's not really what the scriptures say about lying. That's not really what the scriptures say about, you know, if I see my neighbor's wife and I, you know, we have coffee and, you know, we see each other every once in a while, and I fall in love with her. That means I can have a physical relationship with her because I love her. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it in love. The scriptures are clear against fornication, sex outside of marriage. And that's the whole issue here, Bill. That's another thing that the church has missed, what marriage really is.
Mm.
It's impossible for two men to be married. It's impossible for two women to be married. The physiology of God's creation will not allow it. And I will read from a dear sister who understands that in Genesis we read what marriage is. It isn't when the minister or the pastor or the reverend says, "I now pronounce you man and wife." No, that's not when you're married. Let me read here.
Why don't you read that, Joe?
Read what? No, I'm not there yet.
Okay.
What I want to read here is, you know, we're focusing on physical buildings, church buildings, that have the name of Christ somewhere on that building, right? The UCC in Warminster, 2 miles from your house. The problem is worse than that, because you have a myriad of websites that are calling themselves Christians that are promoting this abomination as well. And I'm only going to read from one of them. This is from an organization calling themselves Evangelicals Concerned Incorporated, proclaiming the good news of God's love for gays and lesbians. This is from their homepage. Gay and Christian? You are not alone. Welcome to the website of Evangelicals Concerned Incorporated. We are the national network of gay and lesbian evangelical Christians and Friends, a nonprofit organization founded in 1975 by Dr. Ralph Blair, EC. I don't even know what EC stands for, but what is that? Do you know what that stands for?
No.
Has served the gay community since then, providing hope, encouragement, teaching, and fellowship to women and men seeking to integrate their faith and sexual orientation. On these pages, you'll find the good news of God's grace and peace in Christ to a people called to lives of grateful service. You'll find what we believe, how we view the clobber passages that are so often used against us, and much more. Dr. Blair's quarterly record and review, a literature review on religion and homosexuality, is also available. Now, here's where they get you, Bill. This is their mission statement. This is who they say that they are. This is their list of identifying factors. We trust God, our Creator. We trust Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. We trust the Holy Spirit, our Helper. We believe the Bible, God's inspired word. It is our infallible guide for faith and conduct. We believe the good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world to God and making possible our reconciliation with ourselves and each other. We affirm the universal communion of believers. We commit ourselves to be Jesus followers. All sounds good, doesn't it? Until you get to the part where we provide hope, encouragement, teaching, and fellowship to women and men seeking to integrate their faith and sexual orientation. And on these pages, you'll find the good news of God's grace and peace in Christ to a people called to a life of grateful service. So, you know, if I dedicate my life to grateful service of Christ, I can lie, or I can be an adulterer, or I can be involved in any other sin that's mentioned in the scriptures. As long as I'm dedicated, I say I'm dedicated to a life of grateful service. And these guys here, maybe on a future broadcast, they say that these are clobber passages that are so often used against us and much more. I remember looking at this a couple weeks ago, Bill. And the way that they look at the passages that we revealed, that we identified the biblical passages against homosexuality, we call them the clobber passages, they try to defend, as you were talking about, with these few scholars that I'm sure that they found who will try to dismiss these passages as not really teaching and indicating that homosexuality is an abomination. So that's what we are up against in identifying these congregations, as well as all other organizations that have the name of Christ somewhere in their title, who are approving of the homosexual lifestyle and encouraging others to be involved in it as well. somehow, Bill, somehow these people have discovered that the original Hebrew and the original Greek and Aramaic have got it all wrong about homosexuality. Just homosexuality that they got it wrong about. You know, there's no misinterpreting murder or lying or adultery or any other sexual immorality or
idol worship.
Somehow the translation was lost only with homosexuality and lesbianism. It's incredible.
It is.
I want to know from any of these groups, I would ask them, you're saying that the original languages aren't really condemning homosexual. Can you tell me any other, first of all, I would ask them, is sin real? What is sin? Okay. What other sins that that we commonly believe as sin are misinterpreted? They would say, well, I don't know. So, it's just only homosexuality that has been misinterpreted. It's incredible how the translators all missed this one grave area of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
How did they all make this mistake? It's a conspiracy. And I'm a conspiracy theorist, Bill. I'll admit that right now because I know the devil's real and he's a liar.
Right.
And I tell you what, he's conspired in the minds of men and women to get them to believe that the scriptures don't really say what they say.
No question.
And as we started off this broadcast, Bill, if you're involved in one of these congregations, don't take it from your leaders that homosexuality is acceptable and that they've got it all wrong, those who say that homosexuality is an abomination. The scriptures don't really say that. You go look for yourself. How can you be so gullible as to just believe what this group of men and or women, because a lot of women are, contrary to the scriptures, identified as elders?
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible to know what the scriptures say, and there's plenty of them. Well,
yeah, there are.
We don't have much time live here.
We have about 3.5 minutes.
So we're going to do another hour?
We'll go as long as we need to.
I think we can get it closed out in an hour.
I think so. We're almost there.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if you want to take a break, if you want to play a song, or you just want to keep going.
Yeah, let's keep going. But in the final 3 minutes, Joe, why don't you, since we're still live, why don't you just take this time and give a quick synopsis of what God's Word says concerning how someone can be reconciled to Christ.
The scriptures, which we have been referring to all night, clearly indicate that man's a sinner. As a result of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, the fall of man, the curse of man, fell upon the human race. The scriptures say, in Adam, all are guilty. For one man, sin entered into the world. And the scriptures are clear as to the penalty of sin. As a result of sin, man physically dies and man spiritually dies. His body goes into the ground, but his spirit lives on. As a result of sin, without faith in Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross, the Bible says that man will end his final destination is the lake of fire.
Mm.
Everyone who is born in sin. Everyone is accountable to God for their own sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, come short of his holy standard of righteousness, perfection. And all are deserving of judgment. But because of the grace of God, as you read earlier, Bill, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that perish there means to be, to die the second death. That's a spiritual death, being separated from God forever in the lake of fire. That need not happen. Because Jesus went to the cross, and on that cross, being the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, never sinning, not even once in thought or deed, as John the Baptist said, the Lamb, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Going to that cross, he is the perfect sacrifice for sin. Why? Because he's the only human being ever to have lived, to have never sinned. Born of the Holy Spirit, sinless. Tempted? Yes. Sinning? No. He went to the cross, and when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He absorbed the wrath of God against sin once and for all, the punishment that is due to you and to me and to all of mankind. But in his love and laying down his life for on his own volition and taking it up again himself, he paid the penalty once and for all. When he said, it is finished, the work of redemption was finished. He made it possible for man to stand before God without spot or blemish, forgiven, cleansed, free of all unrighteousness, and thereby being able to spend eternity with God. Those who reject that will pay for their sins themselves. They will die in their sin, and they will be lost forever. Because there's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as a second chance. There's no such thing. That's anti-biblical. It is appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. So you will either choose the salvation that is offered in Christ alone, or you will choose to pay for your sin yourself. You cannot stand before God and say, I'm not a sinner. Because he says in his word, you are a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe me, read Romans. You won't get long into Romans before realizing that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God, in his great love and mercy and loving kindness, is long-suffering and patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That all would come to repentance. He's not willing that any would die in their sin, but he can't deny his justice. He can't allow someone to trample on the blood of his only son because he gave him as a propitiation for sin. You can't turn your back on that and expect to avoid God's judgment. Man's choice is simple, but it's profound. Believe and be saved, or reject, and the wrath of God remains on you. That's what the scripture said. That's not what I say. That's what the scripture said. The good news is that God loved you and sent his son to die for you. Believe it and be saved. Trust in his finished work on the cross, because you don't have any goodness in yourself. You don't have any good works to give. You have nothing to offer, nothing but faith, and faith itself is a gift. Receive that gift today, now.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So won't you do that tonight? Thank you for that, Joe.
Amen.
All right, Joe. So, you know, you hear, and I'm sure you hear in a lot of these congregations that, you know, we're not under the law anymore anyway. So all that Old Testament stuff is, that's old. This is New Testament times, and we're living in the age of grace, and God is love, and God loves everyone, and God would never send anyone to that lake of fire that you just spoke about. So, Joe, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, boy, that is a prevailing sentiment of this age, Bill, this time that we live in. It's another lie of the devil, because it's a half-truth. God loves everyone. That's true. And he would never send anyone to hell. Well, as I just said, he can't deny the justice of his nature. He can't deny the reality of sin, and he can't deny anyone rejecting the gift of eternal life that was offered through the finished work of Christ on the cross. So Satan is a master at deception and half-truths. Half-truth is just a fancy word for a lie. It's just a fancy phrase. And the devil has mastered the art of that in so many different arenas, so many different disciplines, so many different ways. If the truth is not the total truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, it's not the truth. It's not the truth. And what is happening here, Bill, is that churches are spinning biblical teaching regarding homosexuality in order to fill the seats and to keep them filled.
Mm-hmm.
All about perpetuating the business of what is known as church.
Mm.
It's about lining a lot of people's pockets with money. Reverends, pastors, ministers, priests, secretaries, janitors, accountants, lawyers. It's feel-good, malleable theology that in no way reflects clear biblical teaching that homosexuality and lesbianism are sinful acts of disobedience. So this issue is at the heart of the matter. Perhaps the key argument in support of church acceptance of homosexuality is the position that Old Testament scriptures that condemn homosexuality are law, and the mm-hmm. New Testament is about grace and love, like you said. Well, let's examine that for a while. You know, Bill, a few weeks back, you texted me early one morning, and here's what you texted. What these churches are saying is the behavior is accepted because God loves homosexuals. It's like saying lying is okay because God loves liars. You remember that?
Mm. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Scripture is clear that God loves humanity. We are his creation. Again, John 3:16 and 3:17. Everyone knows 3:16, but 3:17 says that he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
From this passage of Scripture, we understand that God sent his son into the world to save the world, cosmos, the inhabitants. From what? Save them from what? To save them from the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is clear here that sin is a reality because Christ suffered for the sins of men. So then the question begs to be asked, what is sin? Sin is the breaking of any of God's laws. Where do we find God's laws? You find them in the Old Testament.
Right.
Now, I'm going to read from Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18.
Yeah, and this is in the context of Jesus at on the Sermon on the Mount.
Correct. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Someone might say in response to the end of verse 18, see, even Jesus said the law is going to disappear when everything is accomplished. So it comes down to, what did Jesus mean here when he said until everything is accomplished?
Mm-hmm.
Or in William Tyndale's version, till all be fulfilled.
Mm.
Does this mean the cross? This is crucial to understand. Does this mean the cross? Is Jesus referring to the cross when Jesus said in John 30, it is finished? Look again at exactly what Jesus said in verse 18. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished.
Mm.
The New International Version has Jesus stating, until heaven and earth disappear. Tyndale's translation has Jesus stating, till heaven and earth perish.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus' death on the cross cannot possibly be what he was referring to at the end of verse 18, because he clearly states that not one jot or tittle of the law shall escape or disappear until the heavens and the earth are destroyed. And we can know for sure that the earth still exists, right? The heavens
right.
and the earth did not disappear when Jesus died on the cross. So what was Jesus referring to at the end of verse 18? Okay, let the scriptures answer that question. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6.
Amen.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, and he's speaking to the Apostle John here, who received this revelation on the island of Patmos. Verse 6, he said to me, it is done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. I will be his God, and he will be my son. So this is what Jesus was referring to at the end of verse 18. The heavens and the earth passed away.
Yes.
Verse 6, it is done. This is what he was referring to. So how do the first heaven and the first earth pass away? How do they disappear? Okay, let me let Scripture answer itself again. I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 13. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 13. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Hmm. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. It's a worldwide flood, Bill.
Yep.
By the same word, here it is. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now that's love, Bill.
Amen.
But look at the patience and long-suffering patience of God at the depravity that you see in this world today. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Listen, folks, please. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. Elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. You look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But mm-hmm. in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of righteousness. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's mm-hmm. when the law will no longer be needed, because God will be with us and we will be with him. He will be our God and we will be his people. We will not need to refer to the law anymore. But the law is still in existence today, because if you tell me that it's not, then you're telling me that there's no such thing as sin as anymore. The laws of right. God, which reveal what sin is, are still in existence. If not, Bill, I could speak to anyone. I could take your wife and commit adultery with her. I could steal my neighbor's car. I could lie my way to the top of the food chain. I could do anything I please if I want. If what these mm-hmm. churches are declaring is true, that these things are Old Testament law and we are now in the age of grace. Yes, we are in the age of grace, but that does not disannul the law. Jesus said he didn't come to disannul the law, but to fulfill it. When he died on the cross, he didn't disannul the law. Those are his own words, not mine. When Jesus died on the cross, not was accomplished. The devil and his demons are still free to roam this earth and cause mayhem and destruction. One look at the headlines will verify this. Is anybody, mm-hmm. anybody going to argue with me on that? This is what Jesus accomplished on the cross, Bill, the payment due for sin. The wages right. of sin were paid to him. That is, God's wrath was poured out on him as the punishment for the sins of the world. Which is why he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus said in verse 9, in chapter 9, in John 19:30, it is finished, he meant the sacrifice and the atonement for sin was finished or accomplished. There is no longer any sacrifice for sin. This is what the writer of Hebrews was addressing in chapter 10. It's the gospel of salvation.
Hallelujah.
Let me also add this, Bill, in conclusion to this little segment here. What is revealed by God as sin in the Old Testament is no different than what is revealed as sin in the New Testament. Well, why is that? Because God's nature is immutable.
Right.
He's not capable of, nor is he susceptible to change. You see, there are some things that God cannot do. He cannot lie, and he cannot change his nature. Now, I could go into a lot of scriptures which verify the fact that God doesn't lie and God doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8, Malachi 3:6, Numbers 23:19, James 1:17, Psalm 92, Isaiah 48, Revelation 22:13, Hebrews 6:18, 6:17, Isaiah 40:28, Psalm 119:89, 2 Timothy 2:13, Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Those are just some of the scriptures that identify the reality from God's word himself, that God is unchanging. The law doesn't change. What he said was homosexuality as an abomination in the Old Testament is the same reality that existed in the New Testament. Now, what I want to go into now, Bill, is I want to talk a little bit about the ecclesia.
Yeah.
Why do I want to talk about the ecclesia? Here's why.
Well, we have a – okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bill. Oh, we have a caller?
No, I was I was just going to answer your question. But we have a misconception in regard to the difference between church and ecclesia. And that's what Joe's going to get into now.
Exactly. By the way, we're not live anymore. I guess we should have given out the numbers a little more frequently, Bill. It's very hard to remember that when you're lost in the heat of the moment. And I'm telling you,
it is.
I've been heated tonight, to say the least, because as it should be to anyone who names the name of Christ, ought to be dear to your heart. And when they're challenged, you ought to get your back up. You ought to get your back up.
That's right.
I ask again, why am I talking about what the ecclesia is? Well, this goes to the point that churches like the United Church of Christ of Warminster, 2 miles from Bill's house, and those like it, are not a true congregation of Jesus Christ. I repeat, are
Amen.
Not a true congregation of Jesus Christ, but are rather more appropriately identified with churches you would find, let's say, in the Christian identity movement. And if we have time, I will describe what the Christian identity movement is. So what is the ecclesia? Well, pitifully and incorrectly rendered as church.
Right.
The word church by quote-unquote scholars. Let me see. Do I have Tyndale's? Let me see if I have – let me read from Matthew 16. I believe I have it here from William Tyndale's translation here. Yes, here it is. This is what William Tyndale translates from Matthew chapter 16. And William Tyndale translated directly from the original Greek, the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't translate the Old Testament, just the New Testament. So he translated from the original Greek and Aramaic from that time. Here's what he says here, his translation of Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of the city, which is called Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John Baptist, some Pelias, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Now, that Pelias is Elijah.
Right.
He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Happy art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood have not opened unto thee that, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my congregation, catch that, Bill? Not my church, mm-hmm. my congregation.
Right.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And before I forget, Bill, what is the movie? I think it's called God's Warrior.
Yes, it is, about William Tyndale. Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah, Bill and I would encourage our listeners to rent that movie or buy it, God's Warrior. It's about the life of William Tyndale, how this man suffered for the accuracy of the scriptures. He guarded the ancient boundaries, and it cost him his life. And you'll actually see a scene there where he's asking, well, how in the world would he translate ecclesia to church?
Mm-hmm.
Reason for that. There's an insidious reason for that. But he
there is.
Correctly rendered it congregation. Tyndale's translation is accurate because the word used by Jesus here in Matthew 60 is the word ecclesia, meaning called out. And it's used to refer to a group of persons that are organized together for a common purpose who meet together. It can also be rendered as assembly. That would have been an accurate rendering of what Jesus was saying here in Matthew 16. The common purpose here is that Jesus is stating that upon himself, he is going to build up a body of believers upon the earth to proclaim and honor his name and his gospel. So let's understand that the body of believers, this is critical. Let's understand that the body of believers, the ecclesia, whether universal or local, is made up mm-hmm. of persons who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and who are indwelt by God's Spirit. Unbelievers, those who have rejected Jesus Christ, are outside of his body, the ecclesia. The scriptures are clear in their teaching that homosexuality is sinful and an act of disobedience towards the laws of God. So if you say that homosexuality is not a sin, you are calling God a liar.
Yeah.
I could no more insist that homosexuality is not a sin than I could murder is not a sin. So for a congregation or an assembly that has identified itself with the name of Jesus Christ to condone and welcome homosexuals and lesbians is to state that these abominations are not sin.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you are disagreeing with the scriptures and calling God a liar. So if you want to do that, you go right ahead. Just leave the name of Christ out of it because you are profaning his holy name. Bill,
amen.
The issue at hand is that today's Christianity is not made up of believers only, but anyone who wants to be part of a God club.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I go back to my earlier statement that what we are dealing with is feel-good theology with its intentions of filling pews and lining pockets. And I don't care what pastor or reverend or minister is listening to this broadcast. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You're lining your pocket thinking that you're serving God. You're getting compensated. So where is your reward? They're also coddling the consciences of pew sitters who want to feel safe somehow.
Yep.
A grotesque form of religious insurance.
Wow.
Bill, here's what I have to make clear. The ecclesia, as Jesus intended and described here in Matthew 16, is to be comprised only of those born again by faith in his finished work on the cross. Paul instructed the Corinthian assembly to cast out repentant brother.
That's right.
all acknowledged that this man was a believer. He was a brother. But he said to the, this man was caught in an abomination. I think the sin was he was having sexual relations with his stepmother. Am
right.
I correct on that thing?
That's okay. Right.
Paul says to the Corinthian congregation, cast out the unrepentant brother. Don't let him be part of the congregation, because a little sin infects the whole congregation.
That's right.
So, how much more so, then, should the ungodly be prevented from inclusion in the local body of Christ? You can't just waltz in, Bill, we are a home assembly. We are a home congregation. You can't just waltz in here and say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then, you know, we sit down and say, no, I believe the homosexual. There's nothing wrong with homosexual. Well, guess what? You're not welcome here.
Amen.
You can't be part of this congregation because you're not a believer. You're calling God a liar. But what is happening is God clubs have sprung up all over the world.
Sure.
I read from the lists of denominations, and from Sweden, Germany, Canada,
mm-hmm.
all over the world, focusing mainly on this country. Everybody come in. Everybody welcome. That's what a club
right.
is. Everybody's welcome in a club. But Jesus said he's building his body on earth. You're not part of the body if you deny what the scriptures say. You can say, I'm struggling with this sin. This brother was reinstated, Bill.
That's right.
And Paul said, don't be too harsh with him.
Welcome him in.
That's right, because we are aware of the devil's schemes.
Yep.
The devil would have this guy not reinstated. This guy repented. But what you want us to believe here is that everybody come in. The UCC church in Warminster, 2 miles from you, Bill says. What does their sign out front say? And I have their website right here. United Church of Christ in Warminster. No matter who you are or where you are, just move away from it. On life's journey, you're welcome here. No matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you're welcome here. So what does that mean? If I go in there and I say, you know what, I lie all the time at work. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to get up to the top of the food chain at my work. I've got to lie to do it. And I steal, too. They don't realize that I take. Is the UCC church saying to me, you're welcome no matter who you are or where you are? And this
seems
is
that
the only one. I'm focusing on this one because they're in my face. They're in my face. So don't think that you are the ecclesia of Matthew 16 that Jesus is building on this earth. Don't think
no.
that you're, but because you have Christ on your billboard somewhere, on your flyers, on your church bulletins, don't think that you're the true ecclesia. You're not. Now, you have a God. Your God's the devil.
That's right.
The father of lies. That homosexuality is acceptable in the scriptures is a lie of the devil. And you're accepting it and you're promoting it. I don't know how much more clear I can be on this, Bill.
You can't, brother. I think you've stated your case and you've argued it well. And, you know, I hope anyone who is listening to this podcast, if you have a way of challenging that, you can get in touch with us. Go to our website, www.answersfortheparanormal.org, and click on our contact page, and our emails are right there. So send us an email. Tell us that you want to debate. what we said. And, you know, we'll answer you.
That's right. We'll not only answer you personally in an email, but we will, on a subsequent broadcast, bring up the argument that you have put forth in your defense of homosexuality and lesbianism. We will put that on the air, as well as our response to your argument. So
yes.
Yeah, your position will be known unless you really don't want to be known. Unless you want, and see, Bill, that's my whole sense about this whole thing, is that that church near you just wants to go about their business. They really don't want to be challenged. They know that there are those who are challenging them, but they're not going to make a big stink about it, because they're getting people into their church to give money, and the pastor there is being paid, and the, whoever else is there is being, you know, this church secretary is being paid, and they've got accountants that are being paid. They're perpetuating their business, and somehow what they're doing is making them feel good, like we're doing some service for God. That's what I mean by this religious insurance. They feel like they have some sort of religious insurance, though. It's incredible how the devil
works. It really
is.
Really is. And you know, Joe, we've had a fourth question here the whole time.
Yeah.
And that question is, who is behind the orchestration of this battle, this spiritual battle, this war that is going on? And we've been talking about them all night.
We have. And I'll tell you what, Bill, I'm pretty much going to end my argument tonight with scriptures that a question and with scripture. My question would be to all those who want to defend homosexuality and using a biblical perspective in doing so. I want you to tell me where in the scriptures. Now, we focused last time, last broadcast, Bill, on some scriptures, and we didn't get through them that actually addressed the abomination of homosexuality. Anybody
right.
can do that. Just Google, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? You can do that, and you'll see all of the scriptures that we come in. The same Bible that we have is the same as the one that you have. So you can read about them as well.
Right.
But I defend homosexuality to tell me from scriptures, in regards to marriage, show me in the scriptures where you have any reference to marriage being between two men or two women. You see, you can also infer from the scriptures that homosexuality and lesbianism is sinful, because you won't find two men or two women indicated in the scriptures as being married, or the instructions for regarding marriage. Or what the earthly marriage symbolizes. You won't see anything pertaining to marriage other than man and woman. So you can infer from that, and don't be disingenuous with me. You can infer from that, since it's man and woman referred to in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You can infer from that a sexual union is only to be in the context of man and woman and marriage. And let me read this, Bill, because this was refreshing. This is from a post by a woman by the name of Pamela Rose Williams. She posted this on August 9th, 2011. The earliest use of the English word marriage dates back to the 13th century. You see, you won't find the word marriage in the scriptures anywhere. You will see where man and woman become one flesh. Marriage by God's design is the union of one man and one woman. You find this in Genesis 2:18.
Yep.
Some say that it is the ceremony or the wedding that makes the man and woman married. God's word tells us that it is the joining of flesh that makes the marriage. Genesis 2:24.
That's right.
You see what she's saying there, Bill?
Yes.
She quotes Genesis 2:24. Where is my Bible? Here it is. I've got so many things on my desk here, Bill, that things just get lost. Genesis 2:24. Let me read that. For this reason, a man will leave his father. Wait a minute. Let me back up. Verse 20. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Adam was a man, Bill. Adam was born a male.
Yep.
So the Lord
Adam,
God called
Adam
the
means
man.
Exactly.
So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. He had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she is." For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. You see, that's what marriage is, Bill, in the biblical reality.
Yes.
When a man and a woman come together in intercourse, they're married. They don't need a minister or a pastor or a reverend to say, "I now pronounce you by the power vested in me by the state of so-and-so." No, you're married when you have intercourse. Vaginal intercourse, man and woman.
Yes.
That's why it's impossible. It's impossible for two men to be married.
It is.
Impossible for two women to be married. And this Pamela Rose Williams gives 20 scriptures that regard the reality that marriage is between a man and a woman. Genesis 1:27-28. Genesis 2:21-25, Malachi 2:14-15, 1 Corinthians 7:2, Hebrews 13:4, Genesis 29:22-23, Judges 1:12, 1 Samuel 17:15, 1 Samuel 18:20-21, Genesis 24:67, 1 Samuel 25:40-42, Ruth 4:13, Esther 2:16-18, Luke 2:4-5, John 2:1-2, Isaiah 54:5, Ephesians 5:24, chapter 5, verses 23, 24, and 32, Revelation 19:7-9, Revelation 21:9-14. So again, my challenge would be to find me in the scriptures where God either gives instruction for marriage that has anything to do with two men or two women.
Yep.
And by simple reference, simple inference, you can understand that homosexual, God did not intend for man to be sexual with man and for woman to be sexual with woman. No more so than he intended for a man to be sexual with his own mother or a daughter to be sexual with her own father.
Mm-hmm.
Or a man to lie down with a beast. So you have
That's
to
right.
twist yourself into a pretzel. You have to be a contortionist. You have to either be totally deceived yourself or you have to be a liar in furtherance of an agenda.
Yep. Joe, just let me add to what you've just read.
Right.
This is in Mark chapter 10.
Yes.
And in the beginning of the chapter, it starts out, and he left there. This is from the English Standard Version.
Mm-hmm.
And he left there, and he went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and the crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And the Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." So it's pretty clear there, Joe.
Yeah.
God ordained marriage, the coming together to make one flesh, two people, one flesh, one man, one female, marriage. God ordained that from the beginning of the creation. In the garden, as you read rightly from Genesis, when God put Adam into a deep sleep, took his rib, and formed the woman. God's design for marriage. This is marriage. God's
right.
Design for one man and one woman to come together sexually to create one flesh.
That's right.
So these churches out there, Joe, and we're going to call them that, churches, that's what they are, these
right.
God clubs, what they are practicing by blessing same-sex union, same-sex so-called marriage, which it isn't,
right.
What they are calling is an abomination in the eyes of God. It's not what God had intended from the beginning. What they are doing is out and out disobedience to the word of God. And they can do all the biblical gymnastics they want around the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's not going to hold up in God's court when they have to face the judgment, because God makes it clear in his word what he will do to those who change his word or subtract from it or add to
That's
it.
That's right.
So UCC over there in Warminster, God help you.
Amen, Bill. Let me read this from the UCC website. Their symbol, I have no idea what the symbol is.
It's a rainbow.
It looks demonic. No, not that.
Oh.
There's a heading that says United Church of Christ in Warminster, and to the left of that, there's some sort of a red symbol. It looks like a crown at the top, and then there's in the middle there's a cross,
yeah.
And then at the bottom, there's a circle with a line through it. I have no idea what that means. But anyway, yeah, they do use the rainbow, and that's a sign of affirming for homosexuality. And, you know, the mantra for these types of churches is open and affirming. Open and affirming. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you see a church that says open and affirming, keep driving. If you want to find a biblical congregation, first of all, find a home congregation or a home assembly that's not affiliated with the state in any way, that's not beholden to, or is under no other authority other than Jesus Christ, that don't answer to anyone other than Jesus Christ. Now, let me read this from their website. Open and affirming.
Mm-hmm.
O-N-A is a designation for congregations, campus ministries, and other bodies in the UCC, United Church of Christ, which make a public covenant of welcome into their full life in ministry to persons of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions.
Mm.
Honest welcome. We recognize that many gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people have been deeply hurt and rejected by the church institution. Not only are we saddened by this, Bill, you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Not only are we saddened by this, but we also think that we have a responsibility to bring about healing and reconciliation for those who have been hurt by prejudice and discrimination. You see, that's what you are, Bill. You're prejudicial and you're discriminatory.
Right.
All people deserve to feel welcome and accepted in a place of prayer, worship, and community. Jesus of Nazareth taught and lived extravagant welcome and offered hospitality to all. We seek to do the same. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Blasphemy.
Worse than that.
Now, while I have, if a tank says E when you're on gas, I'm running on vapors right now, but I have got to read this. And this is where I'm going to end, Bill. We've got eight minutes left.
Yeah.
Because you name the name of Christ somewhere, don't think that you're the Ecclesia, as I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people are familiar with Christian identity. They are also known as identity Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
This refers to a wide variety of loosely affiliated believers and churches with a white supremacist theology. Most promote a racist interpretation of Christianity. According to Chester L. Quarles, professor of criminal justice at the University of Mississippi, some of the Christian identity movement's followers believe that non-Caucasian peoples have no souls and can therefore never earn God's favor or be saved. Believers in the theology affirm that Jesus Christ paid only for the sins of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and that salvation must be received through both redemption and race. Now, how does that sound?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but they have the name Christian in their identification. And so does the UCC church.
Yeah.
Here's a list of Christian identity websites. I won't go through the whole thing. Just let me name some of these. America's Promise Ministries, the American Wisdom Series, Anglo-Israel, Anglo-Saxon Israel, Aryan Nations 88, Assembly of True Israel, the Association of the Brother Ryan, Christian Freeman, Christian Identity Ministries, Christian Identity Revealed 2012, Christian Israel, Christian Israelite Church, Christian Patriot and Truth Ministry, Christian Study, Christogenia, Church of the Sons of Yahweh, Cockroach Alley, Covenant Truth, Dr. Van Sion, Ezra 98, Fellowship of God's Covenant People, The First Church of the Internet, Free Christian Church of Connecticut. I could go on and on. Kingdom Identity Christianity, Kingdom Identity Ministries, Truth from God, the 12 tribes of Israel, United Church of Yahweh Forum, United Identity Church of Christ, Watchman's Teaching Ministries. These are all Christian identity movement churches with a white supremacist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Who believe that non-Caucasians have no souls. Now, why am I mentioning this type of movement? Well, simply because they are no closer to being an ecclesia, according to Matthew 16, than are the UCC of Warminster, 2 miles from your church, are
Amen. Amen.
A true congregation. The UCC Church of Warminster are more likely affiliated and identified with the Christian identity movement than they are the Ecclesia of Matthew 16.
Yep.
So you over there, if anybody over there in UCC and Warminster are listening, I equate you guys more with the Christian identity movement of white racists than I do with the Ecclesia of Matthew 16, because you're calling God a liar. And that's what these
right.
guys in the white supremacist Christian movement are doing.
Right.
Take the name of Christ out of your title. Then you can do what, and say whatever you want. But these white racists can't refer to the scriptures in order to promote their agenda. And the UCC and all other homosexual accepting and promoting churches are the same.
Amen.
Don't call yourself, don't believe you're the Ecclesia of Matthew 16 because you have Christ in your title. You're no closer than to being a true body of believers than these guys here in the Christian identity movement. That's a sobering thought, Bill.
It is.
And again, I don't care really what people say about me. I really don't care. I'm going by the facts. I'm going by scripture.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus say in Matthew? Will happen to those who come to him? Lord, didn't we do this in your name?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we do this and that in your name, in your name, in your name, in your... Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That's the sobering thought that you people better consider when you call
right.
God a liar. It's one thing to struggle with sin. I struggle with sin every day, believe me. But I will never say the sins that I struggle with are acceptable and that the Bible teaches that they're okay. I will always identify them as sin. If you struggle with homosexuality, don't tell me that the Bible supports homosexuality. If you say, yeah, I'm a believer, but I struggle, that's understandable. But there's deliverance from that. And you watch the testimonies that I referred to 3 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
You can be delivered from the depravity of homosexuality in the same way that you can be delivered from the depravity of being addicted to alcohol or any other substance or any other sin that besets us. It's all through
right.
the transformational work of the Holy Spirit. In the same way that no one can brag about their salvation, no one can brag about their sanctification. You depend
yep.
on God for all of it.
That's right. Well, Joe, I want to say thanks for all that you've